I have two scars on my body. I was bit on my leg by a dog one day when I was running. A trip to the IER and several stitches were required. And then there's another scar on my hand when I was helping a friend move. I was carrying a couch and my hand was rammed into a metal box hanging on the wall. That hurt. Let me tell you, now, I have visual reminders of those two very unpleasant days. And I have to be honest, I've never been all that excited about showing people my scars. But some people love to show off their scars. But every once in a while, I'll come across somebody, almost always a guy, who says, "Do you want to see my scar? Do you want to see where they cut me? Hey, let me show you my incision." By the way, I have no desire in any way, shape, or form to see your scar. But if you need to show me, I'll admire it. But I don't do well with medical stuff and thinking about people getting impaled, cut, or broken. I passed out one Sunday afternoon in a hospital room because I was visiting an elderly man after having heart surgery, and he insisted on showing me the incision in his leg from where they took the artery and put it in his heart. Next thing I knew, I was face down on the floor with doctors and nurses looking over me, checking, "Are you okay?" And I spent the afternoon in the ER, all because somebody was talking about their incision, their scar. Scars tell a story about something painful that happens in our lives. They shout out a message about past surgeries, car wrecks, injuries, and abuses. It usually takes some trust and intimacy to reveal your scars to someone. Sometimes people show their scars just so people can really believe their past pain. That's what Jesus does for Thomas in our text today. Listen to the story. It's found in John 20, 24 through 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark on the nails, and the place in my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." But then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The first point of my message this morning is, it's hard to believe if you're not there when Jesus shows up. Listen, I don't know if Thomas saw Jesus' body after the crucifixion. There's no biblical record that says he did or he didn't. But John, the beloved, he did. He was there with Mary, there with Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene and others. There were eyewitnesses to the scars he bore through the scourges and the thorns. They were right there when the sword penetrated his heart and water and blood rushed out. John even writes about what he personally witnessed in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 35. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, that's how he always addresses himself when he writes, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine and a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was the high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you might also believe. John was there. He was a man who saw it and gave testimony to it. And we know without a doubt, the first people he shared this eyewitness account with were the other disciples, including Thomas. I bet Thomas had witnessed other crucifixions. The place of the skull, Calvary, is well known. You'd have to walk past it to go into Jerusalem. The Romans skillfully used this horrific form of capital punishment to strike fear into anybody who might cross them. So they wanted everybody to see the crucifixion. So they put it right there at the main thoroughfare. Thomas knew what it was like. He knew what crucifixions were like. So as John described what had happened to Jesus in detail, Thomas and the others continue to hide from the authorities. They grieve. They mourn. There must have been a deep sense of hopelessness. After 3 years of following Jesus, he's dead. He's been buried. Luke 23:48-49 conveys what they must have been thinking and conveys that hopelessness. It says, all the crowds had assembled for the spectacle, and when they saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. All those who knew him, did that include Thomas and the others, watching from a distance? We don't know. But we do know many from his inner core witnesses Jesus' crucifixion. Nicodemus and Joseph from Arimathea quickly took his body down and prepared it for burial, and they laid it in a tomb, cut in the rock, one in which no one had been laid. You know, it's hard to watch someone die. It's hard to watch somebody you love have their body ravaged, either by a crucifixion or by a disease. When my dad got COVID, I didn't get to him till he was already in hospice. I'll never forget walking into that room, seeing his body emaciated from a month-long struggle with trying to breathe and not having an appetite, not being able to eat. It's like his body had been put through the wringer. As I sat with him, his breath was so labored, it sounded like a bad air conditioning in need of repair and lubrication. It was difficult to watch. It was difficult to be in the same room with him. I had to leave. I knew where he was going. I had made peace with him passing, but I couldn't sit there and watch him suffer. 1 hour later, I got the call that he had passed. So I somewhat understand how Thomas is feeling. I can relate to Thomas. If you'd shown up at my house 3 days later telling my dad was alive again, I would have thought you were crazy, maybe even a little cruel. I think Thomas gets a bad rap for his doubts. We know that on Easter Sunday, Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. She comes to the disciples with the news he's resurrected. I've seen the Lord, she says. And then that evening, something amazing happens. Listen, John 20:19-23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven of them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Thomas isn't there when this happens. And the other disciples tell them, "We've seen the Lord." His response is, "Unless I see the scars in his hands and his feet and put my hand in his side. I will not believe. I think it's unique that Thomas will only believe when he sees and touches Jesus' scars. It's the scars that will prove to him that Jesus is now alive. It's hard to believe in a risen Savior when you're not there when he appears. Here Thomas is not with the other disciples, so he missed out on seeing Jesus. And now he's demanding more of Jesus to prove himself. Now he has to touch the scars. Which brings me to my second point. When Jesus shows up, he meets us where we are. A week later, the disciples are together again in the same house. Man, I wonder what that week was like for Thomas. The things he must have wrestled with in his heart and his mind. This time Thomas is there with the others, behind locked doors, and Jesus shows up and stood amongst them. Peace be with you, he says. That's the most common greeting. In Jewish society, it's kind of like, hey, how you doing? For us today. But the first person Jesus addresses in the room is Thomas. Touch the scars, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. I don't get the real sense that there's a reprimand here. It's just that Jesus knows what Thomas needs to believe. And he does it. And the result? Thomas says to him, my Lord and my God. It's important for us to remember that all this happened before Jesus ascends back into heaven. This appearance happened before the powerful gift Jesus gives to the disciples in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Thomas needed this, and Jesus provided it. And Thomas is prepared for his future ministry to tell the world that Jesus is risen. By the way, Thomas would die for his testimony. Tradition says that he was killed in India with a spear by idolatrous priests, and then his body was burned in an oven. Lee Strobel is by trade a lawyer and an investigative journalist. According to him, two of the most skeptical careers that you could be in. As a devout atheist, he set out to disprove his fiancée's Christian faith that she had just put her faith in. He wanted to disprove that Jesus actually rose from the dead. In his research, he ended up becoming a devout believer, proclaiming, it would take more faith for me to remain an atheist than to believe. He wrote a book, which has recently become a movie, The Case for Christ. In it, he talks about how people no doubt will lie, but people will not lie for a lie. They won't give their life for a lie. They won't be killed for a lie. Yet each of these disciples went to their death proclaiming Jesus had risen. And that is exactly why a risen Savior gave Thomas exactly what he needed. But Jesus also says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about me and you and everyone who would hear about him through Thomas and others' testimonies. The amazing part of this statement is that Jesus will still meet each of us where we are through his Holy Spirit and give us just what we need to believe. He told these disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he told them that, he ascended into heaven. Now, I've never seen Jesus' scars. I've never put my hand in that place where he was stabbed by that spear. But I've experienced his spirit meeting me right where I am. He met me right where I was, lost and hopeless, sinful and rebellious. Yet I had heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit cut open my heart. The apostles' testimony reached down through history, and Jesus showed up through his spirit. Not only convicted me of my sin, but showed me a new life through his resurrection. And I repented, I was baptized, and in 1980, I was born again. I believe in the power of Easter. I believe the scars of Jesus tell me all I need to know about how much he loves me and what he's done to save me. Rick Bardet, pastor writes about the experiences of scars at his dad's funeral. He writes, At my dad's funeral, our family got to come in and see the body before everybody else. It was private. And I remember looking at my dad's hands folded on top of his chest. They had purposefully put the unscarred good hand on top of to cover the burn scarred hand. And I went and I got the funeral director. And I showed him the burn scarred hand and how it was covered up. And I said, "You don't know how he got those scars. He got them saving my life. He burned his hand to keep me out of the fire. Could you please put that hand, the scarred hand, on top?" And he did. Because I wanted the world to see how much he loved me. And those scars were the proof. I understand why Thomas wanted to see those scars. Why, when he saw them, he believed. Jesus showed Thomas his scars to prove to Thomas that he was truly alive. You see, scars do not form on the dead. They only form on the living. You may have scars and you might think they're not very attractive. They may remind you of something terrible or a terrible disease you fought, or a terrible accident you had, or a terrible encounter that you had. But you need to know that scars are beautiful. Why? Because scars do not form on the dead, only the living. They're proof that you survived. They're proof that you overcame it. They're proof that God brought you through. I told you I don't like looking at scars. But my wife, after a cancer battle, came out covered in scars. She's got scars all over the place. But I don't mind looking at those scars. You know why? Because scars don't form on the dead. They only form on the living. And those scars are proof that she's alive. Those scars are proof that she made it. Those scars are proof that she defeated cancer. They're beautiful to me. Just as Jesus' scars are beautiful. They're beautiful because he's alive. He defeated the cross. He defeated our sin. He defeated death itself so he might show you his scars, so he might prove to you how much he loves you. And that, my friend, is what God did to win your heart.